right now we have with us one of my favorite guests, and it's Carol Matriciana. And Carol is a television producer. She's been doing it for, how long have you been doing it, Carol?
Hello, Dr. Stan. Well, I'd give away my young age if I told you.
All right. We won't ask that.
But I have been in the visual media for, my gosh, over 30 years.
All right, now, I want you to go ahead and tell us, you're really concerned about a lot of the things that are happening, the new forms of yoga, and these other Eastern mystical practices that that you're so well acquainted with, because, of course, you recognize them. When you lived in India there, and fought in the latter days of the British occupation of India, so why don't you pick up the story and tell us what's going on today and why you are so concerned about what's happening.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. I don't know if you remember, in the 80s, I wrote a bestseller book called Gods of the New Age.
I still have a copy.
And we made a documentary of the same title. We went to India. We interviewed the gurus, the bhagwans, the godmen, the mystics of various different ashrams and communities, asking them to explain Hinduism and the changing face of Hinduism in a way that they were now branching out to the Western world that were coming over in the millions and the hundreds of thousands to rediscover or find the exotica of India. And usually yoga was something that within Hinduism, within Orthodox Hinduism, yoga is a preparation of the older disciple, the person that has finished being a parent, has finished being a grandparent, has retired, and is now preparing for death, preparing for reincarnation, preparing to clean out the bad karma of this life and prepare for a new reincarnation when their soul would go into a new body, because within Hinduism it is believed that our bodies are maya or an illusion, and that our souls are just here for the time being, but actually the soul is endless and it goes from body to body to body to body. And it doesn't really matter whether the body is human or animal or actually neither. So really the whole concept of reincarnation, Gandhi himself, President Gandhi, who was himself a God-man, guru, practicing yogi, said it is a hopeless cycle of imprisonment. Where one really can't get out and can't get out of. So here is the practice of yoga within Orthodox Hinduism in this state, but somehow in the 80s it got repackaged to the West as an exercise of life-giving, of improvement, of mental improvement, emotional improvement, spiritual well-being, and somehow got repackaged as a program for life, and now, two decades later, has completely integrated into not only the secular society at large, but also into the Christian church.
And of course,
so my latest DVD on yoga uncoiled, going from east to west, is basically looking at the changes in the last two decades, and how it is changing, how it is coming into the church, what is the church. How is the church adapting it? How is yoga being accepted as only a physical exercise?
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. And our guest this afternoon is certainly one of my favorite guests. It's Carol Matriciana, who's a DVD and film producer. And I guess in the early 80s, she wrote a wonderful book called The Gods of the New Age. And there was a DVD that either went with that. And it went into the fact that Hinduism is coming to America, and it is being brought to America not only by the Hindus, but by many of our ministers. And within the Christian church today is something called Christian yoga. Well, this, of course, is an ancient occult practice, but we've repackaged it to call Christian yoga, so that this is how we'll find God. The trouble is, what God are we going to find? So you'd pick up this story there, Carol.
Well, yes, indeed. Having gone to India for the making of the first film, Gods of the New Age, where the Indian mystics and Hindus were very open about the roots of yoga, about the spiritual roots of yoga, about the Eastern roots of yoga. They were very open and honest about it. But as the Westerner started embracing yoga more and more, and as it became a sort of household word in our society, a lot of Westerners didn't want to embrace the idea of reincarnation or that yoga was a preparation for death and reincarnation, but rather they wanted to sort of pick at what they felt were the good parts of yoga, the physical parts, separate it from its spiritual roots, and basically incorporate it into society. I mean, it's absolutely incredible how it has sort of mushroomed into our society. I mean, it is, I think there are about anywhere between 70,000 yoga teachers in America and some 20,000 locations across America. We teach approximately 40 million fitness fanatics, aging baby boomers, old age pensioners, young people, business people, senior citizens, pregnant women, and everybody is getting completely pulled into this, which is being promoted in hospital programs as an alternate medical therapy and claims to reduce blood pressure and benefit the heart. So here we have an Eastern spiritual technique embraced by American corporations, the American medical business, completely come into, for instance, in Walmart, in the website, Walmart's website, I think 900, almost 1,000 yoga products are advertised, and in Target website, there's over 4,000.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back here in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest is Carol Matriciana, and Carol is just simply saying that this yoga is being adopted by countless millions of Americans, and it's just a form of exercise. I mean, after all, the doctor says that exercise is good for you, and it is good for you, but not the yoga exercise, because you begin playing mind games, and of course the whole idea is to empty your mind and of course open it up to these forces that are going to help you to better prepare yourself for the next life. And, of course, she's saying that in Walmart, there are, what, 1,000 sites there where they sell different items for having to do with yoga?
Mm-hmm. There are over 990 yoga products on that site. And in Target, there's almost 4,500. Just a very simple search on Amazon.com of yoga books brings up almost 2 million. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And Google.com. There were about 32 million yoga-related, ancient Hindu yoga philosophy-related products and instructions, and this has just become totally part of Western mainstream culture.
But
what I did in the last 4 years is went back to India and asked Hindus and practicing yoga experts that can we separate in the West, can we separate yoga and Hinduism? Can we separate the spiritual from the physical? And they say that the knowing separation of yoga from Hinduism is quite deceptive. I mean, these are head top people. Hinduism Today, which is a leading Indian publication, its managing editor said that Hinduism is the very soul of yoga and based on Hindu scriptures and developed by Hindu sages, and that yoga opens up new and more refined states of mind, just as you were saying, Dr. Stan. And to understand them, one needs to believe in and understand the Hindu way of looking at God. And they were very concerned that it has become a big part of Christianity. And they, in fact, warn in Hinduism Today, a leading Indian publication, it warns that a Christian trying to adapt these practices will likely disrupt their own Christian beliefs. So when you've got Hindus that are concerned and admit that these are two distinct worldviews and that really they're quite offended that Christians can think that they can take out something rather like a recipe, take out the ingredients of Hinduism and keep it and adapt it to sort of a Christianized yoga, they take great offense. So it's been a very interesting film to make. It's so close to completion, and you are going to get your complimentary director's cut next week. And I am just very, very excited about it. It's completely eye-opening and revolutionary.
But, of course, the tragedy is that the average Christian does not understand that these forces have infiltrated the church, and that Christians are opening their mind, really, to demonic possession. Isn't that really what this is about?
This is exactly what it is. We are in a non-dualistic society. Dualism acknowledges the fact that there are two independent, huge powers and principalities that are functioning at the same time. And, of course, we understand one to be the biblical God, the creator of the universe, the Father, Son, Jesus Christ, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And from a biblical perspective, this is a God of absolutes. He is a God that has put spiritual boundaries and boundaries around definitions of right and wrong, good and evil. And then you've got the contrasting supernatural power at work, if you will, that is Satan. The Bible describes him as Satan, the serpent of old, the serpent who deceives the whole world, the one who was able to deceive Eve herself, the most perfect, sinless human being, was beguiled by the snake and his mastermind techniques at twisting reasoning and twisting mental. So, are you there, Dr. Stan?
I certainly am. Go right ahead.
Okay. So here, you know, you've got this non-dualism. This dualism that's taking place, and it is a battle of supernatural powers. And I had made a film a few years ago dealing with supernatural powers, the battle between good and evil, which explained the fight in the supernatural realms, that there was a God who created the angels, and a third of the angels decided to rebel against the God of the universe, and went their own way, and those are the fallen angels. And their absolute agenda is to infiltrate the minds of us human beings, to distort our thinking, to keep us away from the blessings of God, to keep us away from God's opinions of right and wrong, his reality of truth, his morality, and all these kind of things. And we find that we are being bombarded by the media, by the entertainment industry, to twist the minds of our children. Our schools are being bombarded. It's basically targeting our children. And when I look at even yoga that was very obviously rooted in Eastern mysticism, a few years ago, a few years ago, Harry Potter came into the schools, and Harry Potter was teaching child-friendly witchcraft. Now, the latest thing is that more than 100 schools in 26 states have adopted yoga education, and more than 300 physical education instructors have been trained in it, and the federal government give grants to gym teachers who complete a teacher training course in yoga, and now our young children are being indoctrinated into a spiritual, Eastern spiritual practice in our schools, which would not permit us to pray and read the Bible and pray to a biblical God or a Christian God, and yet here they are bringing in yoga exercise as though it's mundane and neutral. They've taken out all the spiritual, the Hindu roots. Anything that they argue, anything that they feel that Christians would conflict with Christian teachings, they have adapted it. And here we have it in schools, using it in schools, and as though it's non-spiritual and able to be maintained in school with the separation of church and state. So it is just incredible to me as I make these movies where, you know, a few years ago, just talking about Harry Potter, the teaching of witchcraft coming into our schools, and now seeing that yoga is in our schools, and that, you know, that even scientific researchers find a correlation between yoga and the better behavior and grades of the young students. And so therefore, this is the way it's being endorsed. And just practiced by young people.
And I think what's really so important is people have to understand that there are two dimensions in the world today. There is the material dimension that we live in, and there is the spiritual dimension. And there are people who already try to contact the other dimension. And these are the people who are the fortune tellers, the mediums, like the program we have on television about Alison Dubois, the medium who is able to help the DA get the bad guys. The trouble is, there really was an Alison Dubois, and she really did work for the DA to help to get the bad guys. And she was in contact with the other dimension. And many people are getting in contact with the other dimension and finding that it's very fulfilling. You get all sorts of rewards, and you could really prosper. And, of course, you might become a rock star. You might be able to become a great composer, great music composer, but your ideas are coming from the demonic realm at the price of the eternal damnation. People don't understand this is not imaginary. It's real. It's been around since the Garden of Eden. The basis of Zoroastrianism and Manichaeism and Marcionism and of Gnosticism and of the Kabbalah, all of these things, that Masonry, Rosicrucianism, Theosophy. It is this dualism. There are two gods. There's the good God, and then there's the bad God that Christians worship. And that is the most incredible idea. And yet that is how they look at it. And everything we think is good, they think is bad. Everything we think is bad, they think is good. And millions of Christians are coming to graces without ever understanding where the ideas come from.
It's incredible. And Dr. Stan, I think you have such a huge knowledge and grasp of this supernatural realm. And you know, the more I do my research in making these, in making the movies that I do, and just having to delve into research on the internet, what I find so amazing is, let's say 10 years ago, before the internet was so user-friendly, it was hard to find research. It was hard to get into the portals of that dark world, if you will, you know. But today, through the internet, it is so easy, and it is so dark, and it is so diabolical. I am just amazed from month to month at how much darker and perverted our world is becoming, and how easy it is for our youngsters, our children, well, they're not even children, they're youth, they're young 20-year-olds to get pulled into the dark world, and they don't realize that they're becoming addicted into more masochistic, more painful, shocking excitement, if you will, on the dark side. A couple of years ago, I made a film called Gods of Entertainment, which exposed a lot of the entertainment industry, and of course from it was really a branching off Harry Potter, and then just looking at how our young kids are being indoctrinated through the media, through movies, how TV programs of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment, and we carry this book, The Gods of Entertainment. Go right ahead, Carol.
Well, I was just explaining about the research, how in my field as a journalist, journalistic video maker, and having to go into research, I am just being taken through the internet into the dark caves and archives of places that one in the past would really have to seek out covens and dark, lurid behavior, which was very hard to find out. Now it's so easy and so accessible through the internet. There's one incredible site which talks about mutilation of the body, and it was sort of following my Gods of Entertainment movie, where through the internet and through media, one was seeing how kids can just get into darker forms of entertainment, and from tattooing or piercing, you know, the old idea, the sort of idea of women having a couple of earrings has now gone into sort of body piercing in every area of the human body. I mean, far too lurid to even discuss over the air. But on the internet, you can go in and you can see fellow searchers of these absolutely self-destroying, self-mutilating things to do to one's body, as well as floating and hanging, putting hooks into your body and hanging from the ceiling. And some of these images we showed, some of these areas we just touched in with the education in Gods of Entertainment. But I am so aware that just in a year later or 2 years later, just being able to see how much more diabolical it's getting. And as the supernatural world takes over the mind of young kids who want more and more and more excitement, the excitement comes through self-destruction, through death cults in a way. There are people that search out getting AIDS. There are people that search out for fun, finding sexual partners to be able to get involved, to be able to catch AIDS. And there are people that, well, of course, in my Muslim film, Islam, Training Children to Kill, how you see young children involved in the death cult of Islam, where they brace themselves with genocide bombs to blow up the infidels and anybody that supports the Jews or the American or the Christian worldview. And what I'm just so shocked at, I think, is just how darker and darker, more diabolical it's getting. There's that side of it, but then Satan himself, who appears as an angel of light, is even more incredible as he brings his light side of diabolical wickedness into the church and brings, for instance, Christian yoga, which is really part of the death cult, preparation for reincarnation, preparation for death to go into your next reincarnation cycle, all being cleaned up, packaged, and presented to the church as a fitness exercise, as an exercise that is being taught as part of YMCAs and YWCAs and physical education programs and adapted in health spas and wellness programs and part of relaxation techniques and presented as physical fitness on TV programs. And then you have yoga not only going into the Christian church and mainstream society, but then you have corporations.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back. Well, Carol is just simply saying how yoga is permeating every aspect of society, and corporations have incorporated this into sort of a wellness program. And of course, we see this, the church is advocating exercises, communal exercises, how it's being taught in our schools, how all of these yoga practices are being introduced without anyone realizing, of course, that in the process, you alter your situation of your mind, you open your mind. And this is how, of course, in countries in the East, you open yourself to those mystical forces that transform our lives. People don't understand we're moving from a Christian to a pagan nation, and many times our churches are leading the way. In fact, I talked to, do you know how Joanna Michelson is?
Oh, she is well. I saw her about, last year indeed, we had dinner together, and she and her husband are doing really well, and she is, of course, a soldier in exposing the dark side, the beautiful side of evil, in her blockbuster book of the same title.
Well, I happened to talk to her just this last week, and I asked her how things were coming, and she sort of groaned, and she said, so many of our evangelical ministers are down in San Diego this week, and they're being introduced to these various forms of contemplative prayer and altered states of consciousness and the emerging church and walking through labyrinths and focusing on candles and so they can experience God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how you experience the demons. That's not how you experience God. God's message comes through His Word and not through trying to experience Him. And yet that is increasingly people are not satisfied with the simple message of Christianity. They want to experience God by physical activity, and and by changing their mindset and by opening their mind so they can have these mystical experiences. That's really what it's all about, isn't it, Carol?
Yes, it is. It's that we have consumed ourselves with the excitement of experience. And what is absolutely shocking is that we have this new Christian consciousness, just as Johanna said. It's completely entwined itself with basic Hindu yoga and practiced by Christians. And here we have Christian publishers now of Christian books, supposedly, where they've incorporated yoga movements and postures and breathing concentration and repetitive prayer. And they're all being presented as acceptable, and it's all wrapped up in Christian music and biblical verses and Bible names. But you get these Christian publishers who have renamed Eastern meditation techniques, calling them now contemplative prayer or centering or transformation into Christ. And in fact, Thomas Keating, in his book Open Mind, Open Heart, says this basic core of goodness is capable of unlimited development, indeed of becoming transformed into Christ and deified in us. I mean, this is just amazing when we've got leading Christian publishers who are promoting numerous books on yoga for Christians and blending all these Eastern breath techniques and Eastern meditative techniques, prayer techniques and improvement for concentrated prayer life, etc., and wrapping them up in Christianese and telling us that we can empower. It is just terrifying what's happening and how they're ignoring the psychological and spiritual dangers associated with all this expanding awareness.
And of course what they've done is they've targeted the Christian population. We will find these books in all sorts of Christian bookstores. I mean, you might expect it in the Christian section is Barnes and Noble or some of the other Borders and things like that. But to find them in Christian bookstores or bookstores that profess to be Christian, but then if you wanted to destroy Christianity, would you attack it from without or would you infiltrate it from within like termites?
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what they've done. And many of our Christian bookstores, so-called Christian bookstores, are pushing this sort of books to corrupt the very essence, the very foundation of the Christian practice of what's made America the envy of the world.
It is. It's absolutely amazing, and especially when you get Indian sages and Indian Hindus basically saying that Hinduism is just not like a recipe ingredient that can be extracted. You know, they just, you can't do this, and they are offended by the way that we are integrating, how Christians are integrating their religion into Christianese. I mean, they are just as possessive of trying to keep Hinduism and Eastern mysticism orthodox in this multicultural society that we're in. So there's a very interesting controversy coming up. In fact, recently Time magazine even brought it up that you've got the orthodox Hindus who are offended by Christians taking the stretching for Jesus exercises, and then you've got the Christians that are offended that...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Carol Matriciano, and of course we're talking about how yoga and many of the other occult practices of Eastern mysticism have now become commonplace within our society, not only within our society, but within the Christian church, and many times the churches will put on these programs to lure people into these mystical programs, which are the antithesis of Christianity. So you pick up the story there, Carol.
Well, I have just, I'm in the completing stages of my latest DVD called Yoga Uncoiled from East to West, and it's taken me about 4 years going to India, interviewing various different experts on Hinduism, and looking at the roots of Hinduism. Now, in India, their gods, Shiva, Shakti, Rama, Krishna, all these gods have got a snake wrapped around their neck, their head over them. They're under the blessing of the snake. The snake is believed within Hinduism and Orthodox yoga The snake is believed to lie coiled at the base of the person's spine and can only be awakened through yoga. And the snake's power is then pushed up through the spine, up through the psychic centers. There are six psychic centers, to get to the top of the head, between the eyes, to the third eye, and to be able to give the practitioner this experience of uniting with God consciousness, with the Hindu god Brahman, the idea being that creator and creation is one and the same, that there is fusion if only we can get beyond our ignorance and connect into this God consciousness, which we can do, which they believe can be done through the exercises and disciplines of yoga.
And
so yoga posture is embracing a Hindu deity, and mainly the snake, the cobra. And in all the religions, most religions accept that the snake is a god of wisdom and knowledge and powerful. It's only in the Bible that the snake is described as God's arch enemy, as the arch enemy of man, as that wicked serpent of old, that dragon who is out to deceive the whole world and trying to con humankind to follow him and not their creator. So here we see in this DVD, Yoga Uncoiled, the two worldviews are just wonderfully and easily...
Hold that thought there, Carol. We'll be right back. Well, Carol was just talking about her new DVD, and we're going to be getting it the first of the week, and we'll be ordering it, and we'll have it available for you, Yoga Uncoiled. And basically, what we're seeing is the two worldviews, the Christian worldview, which is, of course, ebbing, and of course, the pagan worldview. This idea that we can become as gods, that we can communicate with God, we can become God, we can find God within us, and of course, this is the basis of the pagan Hindu beliefs, so many of the pagan beliefs. It's not simply the Hindu, but many of the other beliefs, and certainly the beliefs of the New Age and the beliefs of Masonry, when you get in the upper echelons of Masonry and Theosophy and Rosicrucianism, we can become as God. And that was, of course, the message from the Garden of Eden, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's the same old lie, the same old serpent wrapped up in his same old theology. Nothing's different. But what is amazing is how we in the Christian church are becoming so deceived that we're embracing this. If it could just be dark and relegated to the dark alleys of dark cultures, that would be one thing. But it's being polished and cleaned up and spruced up and presented in our glittering stores and in our communities and in our churches. And in fact, one of the clips that I've got in the new DVD, Yoga Uncoiled, is a saying from India's Vishva Hindu Parishad, who is the world's largest missionary organization. And it launched this really ambitious missionary effort in 1979 in Allahabad, India, where millions came to the Second World Congress on Hinduism, attended by about 60,000 delegates from around the world. And one of the speakers said, this was in just pre-80s. You can imagine now, 40 years later, where we've come. But they said, our mission in the West has been crowned with fantastic success. Hinduism is becoming the dominant world religion, and the end of Christianity has come near. Now, since the 80s, to the 90s, to the millennium, we see that indeed, here it is, in our churches, wrapped up in Christian terminology, with Christian publishers promoting it with Christian names, the emergent church, the Rick Warren purpose-driven movement, all of these things just getting us to focus in and contemplative prayer and experience and merging with the goodness, if you will, out there, which is, of course, the lie of the New Age movement. But the change is so quick. It's just amazing.
Well, you know, that, this is why we're living in...
The difference, really, I mean, I remember when I came from my... with flirtation, even though I grew up in India and knew what the Eastern mysticism, how decadent and dark and destructive it was, when I came to the West, I got seduced by the repackaging, the scientific repackaging of Eastern mysticism. And I remember quite some time after, when I was involved in the depths of despair, someone came to me and told me about the Bible. And you know, just one night of being immersed in answers from the Bible, the Word of God, the absolute truth, completely turned my worldview upside down, and that's the difference. And Mahatma Gandhi, who is an Indian yogi and Hindu philosopher, he was greatly influenced by the Bible, and he said a poignant accusation and remark to the Christians. He said, "You Christians, look after a document containing enough dynamite to blow all civilization to pieces, turn the world upside down, and bring peace to a battle-torn planet, but you treat it as though it was nothing more than a piece of literature."
So well said. You know, someone once said, it's not that Christianity has been tried and failed. It just hasn't been tried. And this is the tragedy, because within our church today, some of our leading church leaders, and I will not name them, but I certainly only have to go to their websites and see how they're talking about the emerging church, this contemplative prayer, this experiencing Christianity, experiencing God. Oh, isn't it wonderful to experience God, to find these new means of communicating with Him, and these new means of playing mind games so that we can contact God. Well, of course, what you're doing is you're contacting a God, but which God are you contemplating? Are you contacting? This is what people do not understand. There really is another dimension. There really is are beings there that you can come into contact with. But of course, are they the God of the Bible? Or are they demonic spirits who represent the dark side? Not imaginary,
well,
very real.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Google right ahead.
And if they're not only focusing, I mean, they're not only coming from the dark side, they come when Christians call the names of Jesus and the names of Christian deities and Christian names. And, you know, they think that just because they're calling on Bible verses and wrapping up these techniques, Eastern mystical techniques in biblical terminology, that the spirit, the angel of light, is coming in and deceiving them as representing the angel of light. And I think people don't understand that in the Bible, Paul calls Satan himself not only the dark side, which of course Jesus very openly called Satan the father of lies, and Lucifer and Beelzebub, but Paul told us also that he comes as an angel of light with deceptive teachings and comes to corrupt and deceive members in the church, in the body. And that's what we see today. The apostasy is rampant. And because people aren't being noble-minded like the Bereans in Acts 17, where they tested everything that Paul said against the scriptures, if we do not test experiences or feel-good feelings or whatever it is, if we do not test all this against the scriptures, as we're told to do, we're told to test the spirits, then we will be conned and corrupted, and our theology and our worldview will become polluted and distorted. And so our very measuring stick, our very measuring yard, our yardstick is the Bible, and we have to compare everything against it. But then you get Christians today that are going into more and more diluted Bibles, more and more diluted Bibles that have been changed, because Bibles can be reprinted. If they've got 10% of change in them, they can be reprinted. So we have got Bibles that are being reprinted, being sort of the opinions of man in these sort of living distortions of the Bible, sort of as though we're so childish that we can't understand and can't have the meat of the Gospels. We're being handed this dirty milk. And I remember when I was growing up in India, the milkman who only had a cow or two, if he got more clients and customers, the way that he would spread the milk around was by adding more water to it. So in the end, we got this sort of milky, this white substance that looked like milk, but it didn't taste like milk. And that is what's happening to our word today. We are just getting more and more Bible versions that are becoming distorted and polluted and thinned out. And then we as soldiers, as Christian warriors, have plastic swords. And our ammunition is too weak to fight the supernatural worlds because we haven't got the living word of God that can cut quicker than any two-edged sword. We don't know the scriptures well enough, and many Christians just do not know the scriptures. So what I've tried to do in my latest yoga DVD is to compare Eastern mysticism, the two worldviews, with biblical explanations to try and help the Christian to become more discerning in these times of great apostasy and great deception within the church.
Amen to that. Well, before we go on, Carol, I want to give you an opportunity to get your webpage out and help people get in touch with you.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. They can just come into www.caryl, and of course I spell my name in a different way, C-A-R-Y-L, so it's just Caryl TV, short for television, .com, CARYLTV.com.
All right, fine. And what will the new DVD cost? Will it be both VHS and DVD, or just DVD?
No, I'm not doing VHS anymore. In fact, my replicators and duplicators just don't do this. That type of machinery has gone out where Tupperware lids and socks go out there into the universe somewhere.
All right, fine.
So it's only available on DVD, and it's going to be $19.95, and there's bonus footage in it. And I'm very, very excited about it. I can't wait to hear your feedback next week after you get it.
Well, I can hardly wait to see it. So certainly our guest is Carol Matriciano. And give me the exact title.
Yoga Uncoiled.
Yoga Uncoiled.
From East to West.
And we will have it. And if you want to order it, well, you certainly can. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. We carry a number of Carol's DVDs and videos. We will get rid of the VHSs, and then, of course, we'll be all into DVDs. But right now, we still have a number of the things she's done on VHS. So if you have a VHS recorder, you may be able to get some of the things that she's done in the past. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And remember, of course, the Yoga Uncoiled will not be available. We'll have it probably in about 2 weeks. So if you do order it today, you're going to have to wait a little bit until we get our supply in. But we will be carrying it because we try to carry everything Carol does. We think she's one of the finest producers we have. And certainly there's nobody who understands Eastern mysticism better than she does. This Eastern mysticism that is infiltrating the Christian church today and being brought in many instances by ministers who, of course, are trying to find a more effective means to bring about this personal experience with God. Well, this is not necessarily the sort of experience that we want to have, because unless we understand that there is another dimension, and in many instances we're opening ourselves up to demonic forces, why, and we are not fully schooled in the Word of God, which we're not getting taught in the churches today very much. We're getting more of this sort of feel-good music and feel-good gospel, but we're not studying the Word of God as we need to, so that we can withstand the wiles of the devil. Well, certainly, you know, I just hope that this DVD can have a tremendous impact on people across America. And certainly, you must have made this because you see what's happening at the church, and you're out there sort of shouting the warning to people, aren't you?
Yes, and I'm really concerned because I've just watched it grow more and more in the church. You'd think that with the warning signs of Gods of the New Age some years ago, and with all the great people that are out who are coming out of Eastern mysticism and the New Age who are warning people, you'd think that this would alert practitioners, but no, indeed not. We have got more and more Christian yoga in the church now than ever before, endorsed by pastors, endorsed by practitioners and teachers. In fact, there is a teachers union, a Christian yoga teachers organization. It is just incredible. And they defend it, and this, the purpose of this film is to help Christians see the difference between the two worldviews and that they cannot be compromised.
Do you ever
even Hindus say that.
Do you ever have a feeling that we live in a world gone mad and there's just a few of us who are still saved?
Just you and me, Dr. Stan.
No, we have a lot of listeners that have an awareness of what's going on, but we're certainly in a minority today. And when people warn about this, why, people say this could not be going on. The church could not be infiltrated. Why, we love the new music. We love the new message. We love the entertainment. We love the little groups. We love our church. And, of course, the difficulty is that the church, many, and, of course, all the new wonderful translations of the Bible, but how can you have, 20 different translations of the Bible and believe that any of them are the Word of God? If they're all different, how can they be the Word of God? And that's what they've done.
Yeah.
They've played games with our minds.
Yep. It's, well, I think one of the first things I learned when I became a Christian, and I thank God so much for it, was from a senior colonel in the American military who talked about the enemy and how important it was to know your enemy. And so what he did was he got the names of Satan, Lucifer, the father of lies, the god of confusion, the author of confusion, the doubter, the accuser of the brethren. He got all the names of Satan down, the destroyer, the death warrior, the one who wants to steal, destroy, kill, and all these names. And I have just been so grateful so that I can see who the enemy is, be able to detect the enemy, and then, of course, you have the names of God and of God, which is quite different, and that we can totally rely on for our strength, our fortress, our buttress in this battle, this supernatural battle that we are all entrenched in, whether we want to believe it or not.
And I think that is really so important. We are involved in a spiritual battle, a supernatural battle, for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And most Christians don't even recognize there's a battle going on.
No.
But the other side does, and the primary target is the Christian church and the Christian gospel. And confusing, and that's when we may see some of the, companies like Zondervan, supposedly a Christian nation, it's ruled by Christian, like Rupert Murdoch, one of the leaders of this whole world movement. And he is publishing Christian books, and you want to be awfully careful. When he is pushing and publishing Christian books that will sell 10 million or 20 million or 30 million copies, that the message he's getting out is not the message of the gospel, but the message from the other dimension.
Yes, a very narrow message will not sell huge amounts of books. So the middle group of people is just the apostasy. The Bible calls them the apostates, the ones that are going to fall away. And we just watch Christians falling away from the Bible, falling away from the truth, being deceived by doctrines of demons, because it feels good. And it's a tragedy.
And, of course, we're told that in the latter days, before the man of perdition is revealed, there will be a great falling away, a great apostasy. I believe in all my heart that's what we're seeing now. Our guest today has been Carol Matriciana. Her new DVD is Yoga Uncoiled, and, of course, with all of her DVDs. Why, we haven't seen this one, but I'm sure it'll be excellent. We do have her DVDs on Harry Potter and the supernatural, and certainly the gods of entertainment. Go up to our website and look at the items we have, or go to Carol's website, caroltv.com. Understand, you need the weapons to be able to discuss these issues intelligently, and to be wary lest you, too, be led away into perdition. Well, Carol, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up our program for us.
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Stan, I thought you had done such a wonderful job in wrapping it up. I pray for everybody that listens to your show that they would, that their hearts and spirits right now would become alert, that their ears would be open, their eyes open to see the deception, the cloak, the mask, the what the God of confusion, the veil that he puts out to draw us away from the blessings of God, the richness of God. And of course his target is the church body. Christ is the head of the church body, and his target is to destroy the body of Christ. He thought he did it once before on the cross, and he's out to do it again, the resurrected body, the believers, the church, and that's his target. And church, wake up, so that we don't become the apostates, but that we are witnesses for the Lord in these last days.
And people have to understand that things are going to get a lot worse. And people are not going to understand that everybody's going to think that things are going to be getting better. And of course, there are more and more people who are coming into the churches. But there are more and more people who are coming into the churches who are not Christians, who are coming in because they want entertainment, because they're coming in for feeling. They're coming for experience. They want to experience God. And that's not how you come to a personal relationship with God.
No, not at all. Not through experience, certainly. The Bible, Jeremiah 17, says that our hearts are deceptively wicked and there's no good thing in us. So how can we rely on our experiences to bring us to Christ?
Amen.
No, only the Word of God.
And remember, of course, we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So therefore put ye on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And I really think that that's what we have to do. We have to stand, and we have to stand for righteousness. We have to be willing to accept ridicule and attacks and viciousness and perhaps even suffering and martyrdom. But we are called, of course, to stand for righteousness under all circumstances and not to compromise. Our guest has been Carol Matriciana, certainly one of my favorite guests. And Carol, I'm really looking forward so much to seeing the film you're going to send us next week.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Thank you so much for the work you do, and it's always such a privilege to be with you. Thank you.
God bless, and thanks very much.
Thank you.